Hope you've had an opportunity to look at the planning guide for 2019. If you have not, I hope you avail yourself to that. But I also want to thank, I did not mention this morning, but I wanted to thank Daryl for the great job he did in designing the book and getting it all put together and fixing my mess. And so I'm grateful for that. So when you see him, thank you. Thank him for the great job that he did. When you walked in, you should have got a sheet of paper like this. You probably had no idea you were coming to math class tonight, did you? I do want to say there is one typo on here. Imagine that, a typo from me. But where it says 3.5 and it says trail, that should be trial. Nothing about trails tonight. We're going to be talking about anything like that. But we'll talk about that sheet as we go along tonight. But I just wanted you to have a reference as we kind of get into the concept of what we're going to be talking about tonight, looking at different kinds of symbols. And this being probably one of the predominant aspects of symbolism when you look at the book of Revelation. Last time we talked about understanding signs and symbols, but again, looking at the different kinds of symbols, and when you think about numbers, there are many types of symbols that are used in the book of Revelation, but there are three that are rather predominant as you study through this book. But let me preface it before we get into it. I don't want this sheet to scare you, okay? I know some of it, when you look at it, you're like, what in the world is this talking about? But as I kind of explain what these numbers mean and the concept, the way the Hebrews used the number system, it'll make a lot more sense to you. But the numbers that we see in the book of Revelation are used symbolically. That is, they're representing something. You have a lot of people out there that want to get into this conspiracy theory jargon and some of these other crazy ideas and mathematical formulas and all of these different things. The Hebrews kept it very simple when they used these numbers as far as symbols in relation to try to explain things. When you look through the Old Testament, there's a lot of symbolism in the Old Testament that's pulled forward, as we've talked about previously, into the book of Revelation and into the New Testament. And the way many times the numbers are used helps better understand, as you read through the Old Testament, what Revelation is talking about. A lot of the concepts that John pulls from are from his background of being a Hebrew and knowing Hebrew history and certainly knowing the Old Testament. But all the symbols that are used in the book of Revelation are based on a historical background. Okay? There's nothing new here. There's no new concept that was established when John was writing the book of Revelation. He didn't make up this new idea, or God said, let's try something completely different to see how we can confuse everybody when they read this final book in the Bible. That's not how it was put together. The book of Revelation is simply revealing what Jesus Christ wanted us to know about His coming, about some of the situations that we'll talk about later historically and what they were going through with the persecution and all of these things. So the most significant symbolism of Revelation, again, is probably the use of numbers. More than 50 times throughout this book, you're going to see references in relation to numbers that are given. Large numbers, small numbers, singular in nature, sometimes numbers that are going to add up to different things, 144,000, 1,010, 734. There's a lot of different numbers that you're going to see throughout the book of Revelation. And if an individual were to go through the book of Revelation and mark all the numbers with a red pen, it would be completely covered. Especially when you get into the latter part, when you get into chapter 13 and some of those other different chapters. But in the first century, to help us better understand numbers from a symbolical standpoint, in the first century, because language was primitive, they did not have the type of language that we would have today in relation to, say, English. And sometimes even we that speak English get confused by our own language, don't we? But when you think about Hebrew from the standpoint of the first century, they didn't have the vocabulary that we have today. And many times, if you've ever studied Hebrew, which I did and I don't ever suggest it, because it's a very difficult language to learn. It's very good to learn. I'm just kidding. But one of the things with the Hebrew language is they have words, one word that will mean a plethora of different things. And so in relation to almost in the way that it's spelled, the way that it's accented, all of these different things. So because of that, because John's audience to whom he was writing knew the idea of numerical symbolism, he thought, let's keep it simple and explain the concepts that God is wanting to get across, obviously through inspiration, from a numerical standpoint. So many times, they would use numbers. All this relates back to their education with the Old Testament. Remember, you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verses 4 through 9 there talks about the whole concept. When they're young, they begin to teach them the Word of God and to teach them the statutes and all of these different commandments. But again, because this was so primitive and under such conditions, men came naturally to use numbers as we would use words today. So a certain number would suggest a definite concept. Like on your sheet there, where one would equal the idea of unity. And we'll talk about some of these other numbers in just a few moments. But since numbers cannot be read with this literal exactness that we employ with language today, we're not interpreting mathematical formulas either when we use these numbers as symbols. Again, there's nothing difficult and there's nothing hidden per se with these numbers that we're using also. So when you think about this, you think about this from an illustration, from a symbolic standpoint of what we think about the number 13. Now, when we think about the number 13, we think about it being what? Unlucky, right? I was born on Friday the 13th. I don't have a problem with the number 13. But when you think about that and you go into a building and you press the elevator button, what number is usually missing on the elevator button if they have more than 14 or 15 floors? 13, right? So, is there some mathematical, mystical formula that it's missing a number there? No, it's because of the concept that we understand with 13 being an unlucky number. So you'll see 12, and then you'll see 14. Even though when you stop at 14, you're on the 13th floor, but if we remove that little circular number, it makes us feel better about ourselves, right? Well, that's the same idea that's being used here in the Hebrew concept when you're looking at this. And so because we think about the number 13 as something unlucky, we understand the concept behind it when we say 13. It's representing something to us. It's telling us something about that number. And so we understand it's not figurative or literal, it's figurative. And so although a lot of numbers appear throughout the text of Revelation, the most symbols that we see that are derived from three specific numbers. And those three specific numbers are the number 3, the number 4, and the number 10. 3 was considered by many to be the number of deity. And so when you think about that, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So with this concept of deity, meaning when you're looking at the number 3, that it represented the most supreme or the high number in relation to the aspect of what deity was, because it represented all three concept of what deity is. Again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 4 being the second number, and 4 is going to add up to 7 in just a minute. Again, it's not a math class, but the concept behind numerical symbols here. But the second number, the thought was that this was the cosmic number. This talked about the concept of the completeness of humanity. And that concept came from the idea of the directional aspect, north, south, east, and west, or the idea of seasons, even as the Hebrews would write these things. And so you have 3 being the perfect number, deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have the number 4 being the cosmic number that's being used in Revelation, north, south, east, and west, or the complete human condition. When you put those two numbers together, you have the number 7. And we'll talk about that in just a second. And before we get to the number 10, when you look at this combination of 7, again, adding these numbers together, 3 deity, 4 being the concept of morality or the human condition, to Hebrews, that 7 was considered an extremely lucky number. That was the perfect number that you had because you had these two concepts coming together. And so when you think about the number 7 from the standpoint of the Bible, going back to the Old Testament, we go back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and what do we have concerning 7? The 7 days of what? Creation, right? You have deity, 4 being added up, this number being the completing aspect of the beginning, the genesis of creation, the beginning of everything. And so the way 7 was looked at, the number 7 appears more than 50 plus times throughout the book of Revelation. So 7 is that number that appears throughout Scripture, again, starting with the days of creation. And deity plus the universe equals perfection in the Hebrew language. So in Revelation, a listing of 7 items often consists of a grouping of 3 plus 4 or vice versa. That's the way the Hebrews would write these things to get this concept or grouping of 7 complete. Another combination that you'll see throughout the book of Revelation is the number 12, 3 times 4. And so what this is, 12 is used frequently in Scripture when you think about it, the 12 tribes of Israel or the 12 apostles, etc. And so that concept, again, grouping these numbers, 3 times 7, or 3 times 4, excuse me, again, taking deity with the completion of humanity or the season, so to speak, because of the creation of the world, 12 and the multiples of 12 that you see throughout the Bible are because of this number. So when you think about 144 found often in the book of Revelation, 12 also carried the idea of completion, and the Hebrew thought it was related to religious completeness. So the third number, or the key number in the book of Revelation that you see a lot, is the number 10. So remember, you have 3, you have 4, and you have 10. 10 was a number that signified completeness, fullness, or power. Okay, so think about it from the standpoint that we have 10 fingers. That being power, because we can use both of our hands. That's the concept of what 10 means. You also think about going back to the Old Testament. Again, symbolism, numerical symbolism. We think about 10 in the concept of the 10 commandments that were given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. Also, when 10 was multiplied by itself to make 100 or 1,000, it took on even greater significance. So when you look at Revelation chapter 21 in verse 16, for example, you have a perfect cube with all sides, right? Which was another symbol of completeness and perfection. So in Revelation 21 and verse 16, this gives you an idea of numerical symbology, or symbolically here. So in verse 16, it says, the city is laid out as a square. Again, John is giving this vision of the New Jerusalem here that he's writing about. So he said, and the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length and breadth and height are all equal. So the number 10 being cubed, 10 times 10 times 10, or 1,000, was particularly a strong symbol of completeness or perfection. So when you think about the symbolistic aspect in which John is writing this, talking about how great and glorious heaven is, he talks about its perfection. So there's nothing difficult when you think about the numerical aspect that John is trying to explain, but he's trying to convey with the aspect of perfect sides that it's a perfect picture of heaven. That's all he's talking about here. And so as you look at this as it relates to 10, when you think about the number 10, let's divide that in half, and what do we have? 5. Well, when you see that in the book of Revelation, it shows something that's incomplete, or something being half a 10. So as the number of fingers of 5 is only on one hand, implied that it's limited strength or it's limited duration. And so whenever you see the number 10 being divided in half or the number 5 being showed, it's going to talk about some aspect of limited strength or limited power. Another additional number to mention briefly, again, as you see on your sheet there, is the number 1. 1 referenced unity. So in Revelation 17 and verse 13, it says, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. However, in Revelation, the number 1 is really only used in reference to 1 hour for most cases that we're going to see in the Bible, indicating something that's standing alone or something that's relatively a short period of time. But the main concept is the aspect of unity. However, if you double 1, what do you have? Class? If we double 1, what do we have? 2, right? And so when you think about the idea of 2, 2 is the number of strengthening. Like in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out his disciples to go out into the world to teach the gospel, how did he send them out? 2 by 2, right? Again, pulling from the Old Testament as well. And Revelation speaks often of 2 witnesses, and numbers are strengthened and being multiplied by 2. So when you think about the number 2, you think about strength. Most of the rest of the numbers in Revelation are combinations of the numbers that we've already discussed, and that's why you have that sheet to kind of reference to. So looking again at the number 7, let's consider some derivations from this specific number 7 that you have on your sheet here. For instance, the number 6. So if I say 666, what do you think of? All right? Something horrible, right? Well, if you think about that, since 6 is 1 short of 7, 6 in the Hebrew language was like 13 to us. 6 represented the idea of evil or something that wasn't good or something that was bad. And so keep this in mind when we get to Revelation 13 and verse 18 later, that talks about the number 666 or the number of the beast. The most interesting derivation from 7 in Revelation is when you divide 7 in half, when you have 3.5. So since 7 stood for completeness, obviously if you divide 7 and you have 3.5, that stood for something that was incomplete, something that wasn't always put together as it should be. So several ways of expressing 3.5 are used in Revelation. For instance, on your sheet you have 42 months, or you have 1,260 days, or an alternate way of saying 3.5. And so this is the concept being something that's incomplete from the number 7, why you see the number 3.5 being used. So the list you have displays most of the numbers in the book of Revelation. It's something good to have in the back of your book when you're reading it, so you can see the idea that John's conveying when he's figuratively using these numbers to get his point across as he's writing apocalyptically to the nation of Israel. So pay close attention to the list you have and how the numbers relate to 1, 3, 4, and 10. So in addition to the whole numbers on that list, some of the fractions you're going to see also are going to be used. Generally, the meaning of these is a part, but not a whole. And this is not a part for the whole. This is a part, but not a whole. Doesn't represent the complete picture. So that's why you see a fraction being used. For instance, such as 1/10 would equal a small part. Or 1/4 would equal some, and 1/3 would equal a substantial part. I hope I'm not confusing anybody here. But in relation to this, this is all going to go, and it'll come into view later when we start talking about the specific chapters of the book of Revelation and why John was using those numbers in that particular way. But although the concept of 1/3 is that dividing anything into three parts weakens it, because you don't have the complete whole of it like 7 would be, being the perfect number. But most, if not all, the fractions that you see throughout the book of Revelation have to do with the judgment of God. And so when John is painting a picture in relation to something being small or a partial judgment or not the complete judgment, more than likely John is going to reference a fraction. So before we leave the symbolic use of numbers, let me give you two warnings tonight. And this is a short lesson, because there's no point in going way overboard with these numbers, because there's no need to. But let me give you two warnings about interpreting the book of Revelation when it comes to these numbers. If you've ever read some of the literature out there, it's interesting with some of the concepts individuals will come up with you look at these numbers. And these mathematical formulas, and there's these mystical ideas, and they want to paint these pictures of the occult and all of this. But first thing, as you're looking at these numbers and you have this sheet, don't let your imagination run wild, okay? John is not, again, he's not giving us a math class or trying to make something extremely difficult for us to understand. Again, going back to what Paul wrote to Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? It makes us complete. He's not trying to confuse us in any way by using these numerical symbols or a derivation of these different symbols. All he's trying to do is to convey a point to the nation of Israel as they're reading this through apocalyptic literature, that he's trying to conceal this message from the rest of the Roman Empire of how the Christians are being persecuted and how he's trying to encourage them. So as he would write in this particular way, because he knew they would understand these numbers by using them instead of specific language, would help them to understand without their secret getting out to the Roman government. So we can't let our imagination get the better of us. These concepts were not invented for the book of Revelation, and they're not a result of some unstrained imagination either. Second, understand that the using of numbers symbolically as apocalyptic literature is not the same as occult numerology. Now, occult numerology is the study of the occult meaning of numbers as their supposed influence on the human life. Okay, let me give an example. When you open the newspaper and you want to go to your birthday and see what your astrologer says about it, right? And how lucky you're going to be, and gives you your lottery numbers and all these crazy things. So that's the idea of occult numerology, where they take the aspects of the quote-unquote numbers in the universe, and they try to pull some meaning out of it as if it's telling you something. They want to do that many times with the book of Revelation. That's not what John is doing here. Occult numerology was and is employed by the superstitious idea and a means of foretelling the future. John was not foretelling the future per se, but rather giving an idea of the glories of what heaven was going to be, all the while telling them of the persecution that they're having to endure to receive the glories of heaven. And that's what happens when we get into the book of Revelation. And this practice, again, is astrology or fortune-telling. You ever go to a fair and you see the fortune-tellers out there, right? Or they look at your hand and some of these other things. Or they'll say, your lucky number is this, but your bad number is this. That's occult numerology. Paul said it best in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 23, to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate nothing. And so that's the same concept that's being used by John here. Simply, if we go back to a lot of the numerology or the derivations that's being used in the Old Testament and how they understood it because they were taught these things and used these numbers because of the limited language of Hebrew, it helps us to better understand what John's talking about in Revelation. So I hope I haven't confused you. I'm trying to break it down so I could understand it. And so I hope that helped you also as well. But again, if you have any questions or any comments about this, please let me know. If you did not get one and there's no more on the back table, please let me know and I'll make sure that you get a copy so that you have it. And it will come in handy in a few weeks when we get into some of the specific verses in the book of Revelation. The good thing about the Bible is God doesn't hide anything from us. Even when we think about how sometimes even the book of Revelation can confuse us, that's certainly not God's intention. He wants to put everything out there for us to understand so that we can know Jesus and what Jesus Christ did for us. And so tonight, we want you to know that God wants you to be saved. If you've never experienced that love, then you're certainly missing out on the glories of heaven and certainly what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. So tonight, if you want to experience that, we encourage you to do that. And we want you to repent of your sins as the Bible tells us. We want you to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as He told us we must do concerning His commandments in Romans chapter 10. And we want you to put them on in baptism, Acts 2:38. If you need prayers, if you're struggling, if you need help, whatever it is, then we certainly want to help you as together we stand and as we sing.